In trying to determine what to speak upon, I ran across at work some documents. And it brought to my attention that, as my job requires, which is a supplier quality engineer, over which I have the responsibility of 202 suppliers, I have to send to my suppliers a code of conduct, a business code of conduct. I don't know how many of you have heard of that, but I want to introduce you to a business code of conduct and then translate that over to a Christian code of conduct. So let me define for you Christian code of conduct. What you see on the screen is the front page of this code of conduct for a business. Multiple pages long, but I just want to pick out some of the points that are in this business code of conduct. So first of all, what is a business code of conduct? It's the most common policy within an organization. Guidelines to promote responsible behavior on the part of its employees, its suppliers, and subcontractors. And we have all three. We have approximately 212, maybe, employees. We have 70 CNC machines. And we make medical instruments and medical implants. You might say, Mike, where's the Bible in all of this? I'm getting there. But notice the guidelines to promote responsible behavior. As a Christian, are we not responsible for our behavior? And the answer is yes. So there are some similarities between a business code of conduct and a Christian code of conduct. The business code of conduct policy lays out the company's principles, standards, moral values, and ethical, get that word, ethical expectations. A business code of conduct also defines how violations, can we violate God's law? Defines how violations of the code of conduct are handled. In my case, we provide a warning, which as a Christian, you don't get that warning unless a fellow Christian brings it to your attention. So how are they handled? And then eventually, if they don't heed the warning, then they're let go as being a qualified supplier. The pure definition of code of conduct is a collection of rules and regulations that include what is and what is not acceptable of unexpected behavior. Think about it as a Christian. Is there acceptable behaviors? Are there unacceptable behaviors? And we'll talk about some of those. In this lesson, we're going to be concentrating on Christian behaviors. The InTech Athens, which is where I work, Code of Conduct has 8 guidelines. I want to cover those 8 guidelines. Number 1, respecting national and international legislation and regulations. Everybody knows if you're in business, you got to have a business license. You got to be OSHA approved. You got to do things according to, in our case, international regulations and regular local regulations. Got to respect human rights and the working relationships. And you see, I've got an asterisk by that, and I want to explore that just a little bit deeper to help you understand the business code of conduct. Reducing economic dependence. Ensuring the confidentiality of information, which is very important. We have prints from our customers, and those prints define the qualities, items on it that must be inspected and adhered to. Ensuring the confidentiality of information. fighting corruption and money laundering. I just saw in the news where a company, local company, got broken into for money laundering. Avoiding conflicts of interest. If you know your business is doing well and you tell your friend or neighbor, hey, I expect our stock to go up, and they go out and buy a bunch of that stock based on what you told them, then that's conflict of interest. Fighting anti-competitive practices, and last of all, respecting the environment. Let's look at number two again, respecting human rights and working relationships. Excuse me. Prohibiting child labor. We can't have a company that supplies product to us that has child labor. Not using forced or slave labor. Paying a fair wage. You might consider this and say, well, exactly what's fair? Ensuring decent working hours. We know that there are companies that work their people to death, don't want to hire any more, don't need that burden. Ensuring the absence of discrimination, harassment, and inhuman treatment. Ensuring diversities. Do they hire disabled people? Protecting health and ensuring health and the safety in the workplace. Go back to OSHA again. There are regulations you must follow. If a supplier agrees to this contract, I, as a supplier quality engineer, have the right to audit them on every one of these 8 conditions, plus all the sub-conditions. So, now let's get to what the Bible says. Do Christians have a code of conduct? Now, you won't find in the Bible the term code of conduct. Neither will you find in the Bible a hall of faith, that Hebrews chapter 11, where it talks about those who have faithful experiences that are there for our examples. The business code of conduct policy lays out the companies, as we've mentioned, the principles, the standards, the moral values, the ethical expectations. The Christian code of conduct also lays out the principles. The Bible's full of them. The standards, the moral values, and the ethical expectations. So let's look at some definitions, 4 definitions. Principles, a general belief, I have that underlined, belief, that you have about the way you should behave, which influences your behavior. A general belief that what you have about the way you should behave, which influences your behavior. Standards, moral principles, which affect people's attitudes and behavior. Standards, moral principles, which affect people's attitudes and behavior. Moral values are your principles or beliefs. Ethical expectations is the moral values of human conduct and of the rules and the principles that govern it. So these 4 definitions have a lot in common, particularly principles. 2 of them have belief. 2 of them have behavior. And this came from Collins Dictionary. So what are the key words in these definitions? Principles, beliefs, and behavior. Try to keep those in mind as we go through some scriptures. So we had our reading, what is the greatest commandment? Matthew 22:37-40. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind. This is the first and the greatest commandment, and the second is likened to it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these 2 commandments hang all the law and the prophets. We all know what the greatest commandment is. Turn in your Bibles to Romans 12:9-21. We're going to read Romans 12:9-21. And then we're going to go back and pick out some of the things that these verses tell us. Starting in verse 9 of Romans 12. Let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor that which is evil. Cleave to that which is good. Be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love, in honor preferring one another, not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer, distributing to the necessity of saints, given to hospitality. Bless them which persecute you, bless and curse not. Rejoice with them that do rejoice, and weep with them that weep. Be of the same mind one toward another. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceits or proud notions. Recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in doing so, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. So let's look at verse 9. What did it say? Let love be without hypocrisy. Hypocrites destroy reputations. And there's a story I want to tell here. Back years ago when I attended O'Neill Church Christ in Athens, I was talking to a man, and I asked him, I said, you live close to our church. Why don't you come to our church? And his response was, and I'll never forget it, well, so-and-so that he knows, do I know him? Yes, I know this man. Well, he's a hypocrite. Well, why do you think he's a hypocrite? Well, because he goes to church, he leads singing, he waits on the Lord's table. But during the week, he's a drunkard. That I did not know. And I said, so that's your reason for not attending church at all? Much less coming to one that's close to your home. He said, yep, I'm not attending a church where there's a hypocrite. Got a problem there, don't we? Hypocrites can ruin their reputation and affect others. So obviously the challenge is not to be a hypocrite. Abhor that which is evil. Abstain from evil. Cleave to that which is good. You see why I come up with the title Christian Code of Conduct? It's how we need to behave ourselves. What principles should we follow? Verse 10, be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love. And so many of these statements that I'm going to show you are based on love. Love one another. I don't want to go too far into that because I'm going to repeat myself later on. But love, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart. Love is the basics. Not slothful or lazy in business. I know of people who come to work for a paycheck. I would consider them slothful. They get behind in everything they do, and in my position, I can't afford to get behind. I've got 202 suppliers that I've got to stay on top of. Fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Rejoicing in hope, in verse 12. Patient in tribulation. Boy, that's a hard one, isn't it? That's a hard one. Patient in tribulation. Continuing instant in prayer. We're told to pray without ceasing. How many times a day do you pray? Distributing to the necessity of the saints. I've seen those of you do this. It makes me honored to be your brother. Given to hospitality. That's a tough one during this day and time, where now they're pulling up beside you in a vehicle and shooting into your car, killing young children. That's tough to do, but still a commandment. Bless them which persecute you. Well, that's a tough one also, isn't it? Someone persecuting you, do you go to God in prayer and say, bless them? That's tough. But it's the right thing to do. Bless and curse not. I happen to be situated at work above a place where quite a few people gather for what we call MRB tickets, this material review board. These are things that are not quite the print that they have to make some judgments and some decisions about. And some of them, right, I'm upstairs, some of them down below me, use some of the most foul language that you could hear. And it's very disturbing. And if you ask me one or two of those people's names, I've formed an opinion of them. They don't care what they say. They don't care how they say it. And if you ever notice that if people get to cursing in a situation or a combative relationship, if you hear them, one starts using some strong language, then the language just gets stronger and stronger and stronger, and then one tries to outdo the other. It's very disturbing. Rejoice with them that do rejoice. You let a young person come forward and be baptized, and we all rejoice. We all rejoice. Weep with them that weep, and we've had our share of funerals. I myself have lost a nephew. Jesus wept. He's an example. No shame in weeping. Verse 16, be of the same mind one toward another. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceits or notions. Recompense or payback to no man evil for evil. That's tough, isn't it? We want to get vengeance, don't we? Provide things honest in the sight of all men. What are these behaviors? If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. A behavior. Avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath, for it's written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, thus saith the Lord. Let God handle it. Pray to God that I turn this over to you, and I'm going to move on. Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink, for in doing so, heap hot coals of fire on his head. Be not overcome with evil, but overcome evil with good. Romans 13:1. Let every soul be subject to the higher powers, or the state authorities. For there is no power but of God. Now listen to the next part. The powers that be are ordained or commissioned of God. Now I know that our current president of the United States is not very popular. And maybe that's not the one that we voted for. But what does that last statement say? The powers that be are ordained or commissioned are of God. You've got to remember that behavior. Romans 13:8. Owe no man anything but to love one another, for he that loveth another hath fulfilled the law. Did you notice that in verse 10, love worketh no ill to its neighbor? Two verses down, therefore love is fulfilling of the law. It's repeated again. Love is fulfilling of the law. And I told you love would show up. Romans 13:13. Let us walk honestly as in the day, not rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering, which is sexual relations, and wantonness, lasciviousness, not in strife or envy. Do we have problems with envy? Backing up to Romans 13:9, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, thou shalt not covet, thou shalt love the neighbor as thyself. Do those sound familiar? That's in Romans. That's in the New Testament. 9 of the original 10 commandments are found in New Testament principles. Keeping the Sabbath is not part of the New Testament Christian's responsibilities. Then we have, thou shalt have no other gods before thee, thou shalt not worship any graven image, thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. And I hear that one a lot. and it's disturbing. I've even asked one of them, just please don't curse in front of me. Because if I hear it, it's in my mind, and I'm afraid I'm going to use it inadvertently sometime. So I really don't want to hear it. Titus 2:2-9. If you would, you want to turn over there. That the aged men be sober, grave, and temperate. Titus 2:2-9. Sound in faith, in love, in patience. The aged women, likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. Young men, likewise, exhort to be sober-minded, in all things showing thyself a pattern of good works, in doctrine showing uncorruptness, gravity, and sincerity, sound speech that cannot be condemned, that he that is of the contrary part may be ashamed, having no evil thing to say of you. Exhort servants to be obedient to their own masters, and please them well in things, not answering again. So let's look at each one of these seven verses or so. And notice, we talk about the older men, we talk about the aged women, we talk about relationships with husbands, we talk about young men. So look at this as we go through this. The older men are to be sober, grave, temperate, sound in faith, in love, and patience. The aged women, likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness. We're all to be holy. Not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things. The aged women again shall teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children. The aged women are to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. Now, how is one of your children going to follow after the relationship of the husband, of the father and the mother, if they're not practicing good things? If all your children see is bickering between the two of you, what kind of person are they going to be when they grow up? We're products. We're all products of what we've learned, what we've been taught, what we have understood, what we've seen in the past. Now we're going to talk about the young men. Likewise, exhort to be sober-minded or have self-control. Are we teaching our children to have self-control in whatever situations we have been experienced in our life? Young men, again, in all things showing thyself a pattern of good works, showing uncorruptness, gravity, sincerity. Young men, sound speech, we cannot be condemned. That goes to being a hypocrite. He that is in opposition may be shamed, having no evil thing to say of you. When you were young, did you live a life in which you can say, I had no evil thing to say about this person if asked? What a compliment. What a principle of life to have. Exhort servants. Now we're talking about servants. To be obedient to their own masters and to please them well in all things. Not answering again or talking back in what I believe that says. We are not servants. Are we not servants of the true and living God? I'm trying to hurry. I'm sorry. Are we not servants? I've heard people say, I'm not a servant to anybody. What kind of Christian would they make? Ephesians 6, 1, 2, and 4. Children, obey your parents and Lord, for this is right. Is this a principle of the Bible? Does this not go to behavior? Verse 2, honor thy father and mother. We all know these verses. Fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Is this not a principle of the Bible? Is this not behavior? I got two slides left. So I'm going to show you several. Some of them we may have covered, some of them we may not. Several Christian conducts. A Christian should be found blameless. Christians should be pure. And I know all of you Bible students out there, can quote scriptures that go along with these words or these statements. Be ye holy, for I am holy. Love one another. There's love again. Abound in the work of the Lord. That's why you're all here. Worshiping God and doing the things that we're supposed to do as we have done on the first day of the week. Follow that which is good. We are to be an example of the believers. We're to be a good example. We're to be sympathetic. Some of you are writing this down. Sorry if I've gone too fast. Rejoice in Christ. Fear God. Keep His commandments. A Christian conduct lives in Christ. A Christian puts away sin. A Christian is content. A Christian follows God's word. One more slide. A Christian loves God. A Christian follows Christ's examples. A Christian lives peaceably with all. A Christian subdues their temper. A Christian forgives. A Christian visits the afflicted. A Christian loves Christ. A Christian believes in God and believes in what God says He's going to do. We'll roll back to that one in just a moment. A Christian rejoices in God and who He is. Christian honors others. Christian will do unto others. You know the verse. A Christian believes in Christ, as we said, who believes in God. He obeys Christ. We did that when we took the communion. A Christian abstains from the appearance of evil. A Christian submits to authorities. Now you may say, and a Christian walks worthy of the vocation which they are called. And you might say, well, that seems like a lot. It really boils down to one of two things. Either you live right in the sight of God, or you don't. If you live right, there is the promise, there is the guarantee that through God's grace, we can have a home in heaven. Now, no matter how much of these things that we're struggling to do, some, I'm sure many of us are right on point with many of those. But the lesson is about finding those things which we are missing in our life. Things that we can't improve on. The Christian, for those of you who are not Christians, the Christian walk is not a hard walk. It's a very gratifying and satisfying walk. But think in your mind about what the rewards of being a Christian is. It's eternal life in a home with God in heaven. Versus eternal damnation, where there's pain and suffering, gnashing of teeth. The rich man begged. The rich man begged just to dip Lazarus' finger in the water and cool his tongue. I don't think anyone here wants to participate and go to the place of torment. If you're subject to the invitation, come forward as we stand and sing.